Let me hit record here. Good afternoon and welcome to episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. As we continue our spin through the world of college athletics, I am pleased to be joined by the head baseball coach at Monmouth College, Alan Paterny. Coach, how are you today?
Good, how are you doing? Thank you.
Hey, no problem. What was the athletic culture like in Washington, Illinois?
Yeah, so man, a while ago. So definitely it had that kind of that hard work mentality, kind of that middle class approach to it, to not much entitlement to really anything. If it was something that you really wanted to play or even just goal to achieve, you had to kind of bust your butt and and not really depend on anyone else to do it for you. So that culture was really instilled into me, continuation of with my family and stuff, going into high school and everything.
What made you choose baseball as your path?
My dad my dad, my uncles and my grandpa, really. So they baseball family growing up, it's something that's was almost a guarantee for me to play at a young age. And I was very thankful to have all of them kind of paved my way into baseball as a player and as a coach too. So it's kind of more destined. That's all I ever really thought about when I was growing up, and still what I think about today.
Being a lefty, as far as a first baseman, not just hitting, but what does the advantage you have that you have had being lefty first baseman?
Now I threw righty, hit left. So yeah, it was kind of nice, to kind of be brought up that way, because then you could play multiple positions and everything. So coming to Monmouth as a player, being recruited as a shortstop, Coach Sander, longtime coach here, he recruited shortstops and moved them around. So at that time of the game, his big thought was there's no such thing really as a 6'4" shortstop. So it was instantly moved to first base because I was really tall. So, and I'll still argue with him to that day. So, but it's I it kind of really changed my thoughts on first base, obviously as a player, but then now as a coach too, because you want that first baseman to be very, very athletic. You got to have really good footwork. You got to be able to jump. You got to move around a little bit. So, something that we obviously do look at recruiting wise, when we do the first baseman, type of guy and stuff. It's very, we're very, I hold them to a very high standard, because that's something that position that I played. So, we want them to be athletic, and I think having a good arm is something that's really not looked at first base. So it's something that we try to develop with all of our first basemen too, because we want them to be out there on those cuts and stuff like that.
When was the last time you stood in the box and took full hacks?
Full hacks, full speed. Our guys were hitting the other day, and I kind of stepped in there in the cage and took about five swings. That was 3 out of 5 successful, but and then I started to hurt a little bit, so I kind of stepped out. So, but it probably since I played independent ball, really, to be honest with you. I had no really kind of desire to do it again after I was done. I think that was it for me, and nothing else to prove on that end. But we'll get our pitchers talking a little bit, and I'm out of the alumni games. I don't want to do any more alumni games, stuff like that. I want to be able to walk the next day.
Now, if you were to step back on the field for the alumni game and you had a chance to let it go and aim for the fences, would you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we tell our players to do. Go out there and compete. Absolutely. I mean, depending on the situation, I may lay down a bunt, so we'll see.
Now, some baseball players make the transition to a slow pitch softball after their careers are done. Did you just skip that phase or just like focus strictly on baseball?
No, I definitely went the slow pitch softball route. I had a pretty good group of friends back in Washington and Peoria area, and we had a really good co-ed team, and I think that when I was done playing baseball, I think my competitively I was pretty much cashed out. So it was more having fun, but at the same time, we were really, really good. We won a couple state titles for co-ed, and we just went out there and have fun, and we needed to turn it on. We turned it on for about an inning or two. So, but yeah, that I did that for about probably 3, 4 years. I haven't played since, and I'm okay with that, but I'll get asked to sub occasionally, and I'd pretty quickly say no.
When you finished your playing career, what was it the transition like going from player to coach, and how long did you keep the bat in the car for?
I mean, it was tough. Kind of you kind of had to have it a different approach. My first coach that I coached with was Coach Bill Barr, so at AB, and I mean, that was something that he really taught me is you're pretty close in age with a lot of these guys too, and then you still think you can play. You still think you think you know the game, but you really don't know the game on the coaching side. And that's something that he really taught me. And then always having conversations with Coach Sander back here, about that. And it was, I'd say it took me a couple years to really kind of understand it a little bit more. As a player, it's you don't understand why these guys are failing at the college level and making the adjustments. And I think that was a big adjustment for me. It's like, okay, you got to teach them a little bit more, and you got to show them a little bit more, and don't just assume that they know everything. It came back to the teaching part of everything.
When you look at the Division III athletic landscape, you see schools, you mentioned AB, they're now closed, other schools are closing. Does that impress upon you the need for just a stronger bond between fan base and school?
Yeah, I think relationships are huge in that case. Especially at our level. It's not, yeah, we want the highest talented players to come play for us. But at the same time, I think it's more, you got to have that relationship in the recruiting process with the players and the family. And you kind of want to show them, that's what they're going to get here. And I think that's where we've gotten our success from, is those relationships and getting to know each other, getting to know your weaknesses and your strengths through that process. We don't want to blind recruit somebody and have no idea about them. And that's becoming more of a common thing nowadays, for some programs, and just to fill roster spots, especially where, like you said, where schools are at right now. It's kind of a tough thing to do, especially if you're a newer coach.
When we come back from break, I want to talk about your journey back to Monmouth and kind of where you see the Scots now and headed down the road. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdDrop podcast. Terrence Biggs, Alan Paterny, the head baseball coach at Monmouth College. Coach, two-part question. When you accepted the head coaching job at Monmouth, what was the first thing that crossed your mind as something you wanted to accomplish early, and how to celebrate?
Man, it was a dream come true. It's something that I always wanted to do. I want to be the head coach here, and I think as soon as it happened, you just instantly thought, okay, continue success and continue that tradition, and that could have a lot of pressure on you when you're thinking that, and Coach Sander, Coach Glasgow before him, with, I mean, very rich tradition and winning, and it's one of those things where you want to follow in those guys' footsteps, and two great mentors to me, and didn't really want to let them down. So that was a lot of pressure on my end. Celebration wise, it was very quick with my wife and my family, and it was like, okay, I need to get down to business. Like, how can we keep this going and stuff. So dream come true for me. It was awesome, and and trying to continue it's always a challenge for us.
Before the start of the seasons, just whether a player, whether as a coach, do you still get the butterflies? And if so, how do you manage to push past it?
Every day, every game. It's like we're having a conversation with a couple of our guys, like being nervous before games. It's like that's normal. It should happen. If you're not getting nervous, you really don't care. So, and I'll share with those guys where it's just like, yeah, before first pitch, maybe that first two pitches, I'm a little nervous still, and I think that's a good thing. And but after that couple pitches, we lock in, and you just do what you do. You just go out there and coach, and Let the game come to you a little bit more, and it's and that has come easier as I've continued my career in coaching here.
What makes the Midwest Conference such a competitive baseball conference?
Every year there seems like there's a new champion, so it's really gotten stronger, in my opinion, in the last 6 years. Now that we're in all one conference, it's very difficult. A lot of new young coaches in our league. I mean, it's awesome, really. Every game, every series is going to be a tough one, and I think that makes every single team in our conference better. And it gets that team prepared for conference tournament, and then whoever the champion is from that tournament gets them prepared for the regionals. And it seems like every year we're getting better. I mean, 1 through 9, it's just you just never know. And that's exciting. Where back in the day, it's just usually two teams from each division, and you kind of know who it is. But now we play everybody, and scouting reports are getting out there a little bit more, so it's tougher to beat some guys.
Most coach, actually every coach, they want the measurable to size, strength, speed, arm. What intangible must a player possess to play for you?
Baseball IQ, knowing the game a little bit more. It's very rare that, I mean, we want to recruit guys from high schools that the coaches actually teach the game. And we don't want to have to touch on a lot of different things like bunt D or double cuts or hitting, situational hitting. And that's something that kind of really surprised me my first year coaching at AB, thinking, I'm at a Division II school, and we don't really need to touch on double cuts. And we had a freshman shortstop that was really good, had no clue where to go. And it was like, okay, here we go. And you kind of had to reset a little bit. So going and learning through this each year, it's more of that baseball IQ. You can't really teach that stuff. And if you have that already and you're talented, we can kind of develop some other tools. And I tell our guys, baseball has a million plays, in any situation, and if you understand it, it's hard to teach every single play in baseball. When that play comes, you need to know where you're going, and that's more of an instinct type thing too.
I've talked to various coaches at Monmouth, from youth baseball to football to women to softball to women's basketball to basketball itself. What makes Monmouth such a strong athletic institution?
The desire to win and get better. We're not afraid to ask for help. We're not afraid to, if we don't know something, we'll go down the hall and ask a question. If it's recruiting, if it's training theory or anything, I really think we have the best athletic director in the country here. He's, a long time track coach, retired, and he's very in tune in everything that we do. And he tries to help us, get better as a coach and get better with training or any different aspects that we have in our specific game, and very good resource for us. And we try to help each other out here. If it's, like I said, recruiting, if it's training theory, if it's practice planning, how to approach kids nowadays, that's really big. It makes it a very special department here.
What is the best place in town to grab a meal when you're out with the family?
The Legion, hands down. American Legion, man. It's the burgers, the tenderloins. I mean, my daughter gets the chicken strips. She loves them, and I'm usually between the burger and tenderloin. The tenderloin's bigger than your face, man. You definitely get two or three meals with that. So they definitely take care of the coaches every time. It helps that it's across the street from the field too. So they definitely take care of us after games.
Cubs or White Sox?
Neither. I'm an Astros fan. I grew up in Houston. So I grew up in Houston, and long time Houston fan of everything. Texas Longhorn fan. So it's yeah, I'm Texas through and through, and I get the same look every time I say Houston, and they kind of give me that weird look. I'm not a bandwagon fan, that's for sure.
You have a choice between, if you're a Houston fan, signing Jose Altuve or Craig Biggio in their prime for the next 5 years, who would it be?
Biggio. He's my favorite player of all time, and I love Al Altuve. My daughter loves him too, but he's That's man, that's a tough question. I've never had that question asked before, but I'm gonna go off of Biggio. Just I mean, he's the best. He's the best second baseman of all time, in my opinion. And I know Sandberg's up there too, and some other guys, but Biggio's the man.
Would you want, all right, last question. Would you want 3 years of prime Jeff Bagwell or 8 years of above average Lance Berkman?
Prime Bagwell. Berkman's good, but prime Bagwell when he was doing, I mean, it'd be great to take Bagwell back then and put it on these teams the last 6 years. And that'd be a pretty special group of players right there.
He is the head baseball coach at Monmouth College. Alan Paterny. Coach Paterny, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Appreciate it. Thank you.